Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so your like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys' room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Darling, I was on a vacation recently and stayed at an Airbnb, and then I realized that while I was away, my empty house could be making money, honey. If you're someone like me that is busy and not home all the time, your home could be an Airbnb, and it's actually pretty simple to get started. Even if you don't have a whole house, you could start with just a spare room. Personally, I really enjoy staying at Airbnbs. I really do. I love a good Airbnb. Who is that? Come back, British you. And it really is a great way to like support local economy and support local people. So Airbnb is fabulous. And I know I was doing my British voice earlier, but we love Airbnb. So think about what you could do with some extra cash, whether you're looking to treat yourself to something nice, like a shopping spree or a spa day, or start a whole side hustle. Airbnb can help you be that person. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Jonathan Van Ness. Americans United for Separation of Church and State defends your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even American democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU at au.org/curious. Welcome to Getting Curious. I'm Jonathan Van Ness, and every week I sit down for a 30-minute conversation with a brilliant expert to learn all about something that makes me curious. This week, we have none other than gorgeous Tan France, star of Queer Eyes Netflix, fashion guru, cannot wait to chat. Well, you guys, hold on to your blue, violet, shimmer light shampoo, because I've got someone here who likes to use it a lot. I'm just kidding. If you could tell who that gorgeous, cute little baby laugh is, if you guessed someone whose name is
Fran. Fran Taftar. Tan France.
Tanny's here, you guys.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jackie. So,
it's okay, you can say it.
Yay! Oh my gosh, can we talk about that real quick? No.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Jonathan Van Ness, it shows how much I know about my boy. So Jonathan Van Ness used to go by the name Jack when he was at school, and I didn't know this until like 6 months ago when we were filming, and one of his friends was on the phone, and she kept saying Jack. I was like, who the heck is she talking about? Afterwards, I questioned it, and he said, when I was at school, I go by Jack. My nickname has been Jack my whole life. And so I asked if I could start calling him Jackie. He said yes, but only in private. And now it's not private anymore. Yeah.
But I won't know who you're talking to, and I won't like it. And it's not a term of endearment unless you're my mom or Tan. Yeah. So if you do it, I probably won't like you very much.
Yeah, do not do that. That's not appropriate. Only I can say that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really like bother me. I just like won't like you, and I'll never take a selfie with you. So it's like your call.
Yeah, that's mine. That's yours.
That's ours. Well, you know, Tan, so every episode of Getting Curious is a question. And so far, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, who are you? I mean, who is Tanny Benny? That's I'm doing one with, you know, the boys. Yeah. And it's kind of been like, you know, who are you?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough question. Who am I?
Well, I mean, we can get there together. Like, you don't have to, like, that's like,
okay,
that was a
great.
Really treacherous,
I love that.
That was a really treacherous open-ended question.
Okay, good.
Well, I guess one question I have for you that we could start with is a question about me.
Oh, love.
Which is, what is the first thing that you thought when you met me?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so honestly, the first time I met...
If it's not that I was like gorgeous and attractive or something along those lines, I'm going to be so
offended. You were
offended.
Gorgeous. No, I obviously thought
and
you
And something
were
to the effect of like, if I hadn't already been married, like it like really took my breath away.
You would have been the person I would...
Yeah.
Okay, you've actually taken all of my words out of my mouth. So when I first met you, I thought, gosh, she's attractive.
Second, did you really?
Yeah, I really think you were beautiful. I really think you were beautiful. Yeah, no, I truly did. I thought you were beautiful. No, you really did. Yeah, I really did. Second thing I thought was, if my husband, God forbid, ever dies, I found my replacement for him.
I would keep you safe. If anything ever happened
you
to Rob.
You're a lot bigger than I am. You're a lot taller than I am. So
but I want you guys to do me together. But that's probably against your religion.
I mean, Rob is kind of Mormon-y. We are allowed more than one partner. So,
oh, yeah.
Both of us were allowed more than one partner.
In the day. Or no, even now.
For my community, we can still have more than one partner. So you never know.
Is that... Well, I mean, a lot of people... Well, actually, I think that's like actually kind of a cute time to talk about Islamophobia and the Muslim faith.
Yeah.
Just go right there.
Yeah.
But like, I think... Is polygamy a common misconception in the way that it is in the Church of Latter-day Saints? And I mean, to me, I would think that a lot of people that are living like a Muslim lifestyle in America are not polygamous.
Yes, true. Okay, let's talk about the Mormon thing first.
Yeah.
So in the LDS... So
also the Mormon faith, I would think they're not. They're not. In fact, I know they're not.
No, they're not. So you mentioned LDS. That means Latter-day Saint Church, Jesus Christ.
Wait, did I say Mormon, but I meant to say Muslim?
Yes, you did, but it's okay. I want to talk about both.
Both.
But this gives an opportunity to talk about both. So Mormons are actually people of the Jesus Christ Church of Latter-day Saints. That's our official title, but most of us call them Mormons. Mormons, back in the day, were allowed to have more than one wife. Mormon men were allowed to have more than one wife. However, that's no longer the case. That hasn't been the case for many
decades.
Since
1890 or something.
I don't know the
I think
date.
It's 1890. I'm going to Google it, but keep telling me.
Yeah, so that was many, many years ago. That's not the case anymore. And people who do still have more than one wife, they are a different sect of the church.
That's FLDS.
FLDS, correct. So no longer can Mormons have more than one wife. However, in my religion, Islam, we can have more than one wife. However,
my God. You guys.
You were right with the date?
It's fucking 1890.
You are very, very smart.
And that was why they let it be a state, because that's why they didn't want you to become a state, because they weren't into the polygamy. But then when they renounced it, they were a state by 1896.
You know, you've been getting curious for so long. You're not that curious anymore. You know everything.
No, I'm super curious about
science. Yeah, whereas in my religion, we can still have more than one wife if we choose to marry a woman. But there is a condition. You can only marry more than one person if you can love them equally and treat them equally, which... Come on, most of us can't.
So most Muslim men that
do not have more than one wife. Nobody I know in England personally has more than one wife. However, in the Middle East, I do know people who have more than one wife.
And is there a differentiation between, like, is that like a Sunni or like a Shi'i rule?
No, Shia.
Shia rule.
Shia, yeah. So Sunnis and Shias, they can have
You said Sunnis.
Sunni, yeah.
So, like, in a British accent, it's pronounced...
Sunnis. Sorry, you get... in a stronger...
When you say it fast, it sounds like you're saying the Sunnis.
Yeah, that is how we say it back home. Yeah. Sunnis and Shias.
And it feels like... I feel like you're going to say, like, the Sunny and Cher.
Not that I'm... I'm not making fun of
you. No, you're not. I know.
So much respect. So much respect.
The Sunnis and Shias.
Yeah, so much respect.
I'm part of the Sunnis.
Yeah. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense because you're from Pakistan. Your family's Pakistani.
Yeah, they really are, yeah.
And from what I think I learned that, like, Iran... is mostly
Shia.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. We need to clear this up right here and right now, Tian.
Yes. We've had this conversation.
I'm going to tell you guys a little story about Tian and I. So we were minding our own business this one day in the back of the car in Atlanta. Yeah. And I was telling Tani about Dr. James Galvin, who you guys may know from two episodes of Getting Curious, who's the director of Islamic studies at UCLA. And I really respect him and I like him a lot. And he speaks...
Farsi? Arabic?
He speaks... I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just not smart.
No, please,
I don't know which one. I don't, okay, but he seems like one of six.
Okay.
So, but
do you know where he's from?
He's American, but he lived in Damascus. He's like a professor of Islamic history.
Gosh. Maybe,
but he lived
maybe
in Damascus.
Farsi.
But he lived in Damascus for like 10 or 15 years.
Okay. Probably Farsi.
So I had him on the first episode ever getting curious, and that was to tell me what's the difference between Sunni and Shi Muslims and why don't they love
each
other.
Can I stop you? I love that that was your first episode.
That was my first episode.
You were curious about that.
I've been curious about that forever because I'm like, why are people upset? Like, why? Yeah. What's the deal? And, you know, I think so many religions are really beautiful. I think that the writings of them are really beautiful. And so I've never been or like scared of like one particular one. But I said, so that was the title of the episode. And he said, well, he's like, let me stop you right there. Like, you say it, it's pronounced Shia. Yeah, and it's the way you say it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't, but then he says that when you, you know, you speak the language or whatever, it's like a Shia, or that thing that you do or whatever.
Yeah.
But when I say it in American.
You can say Shia. So I think.
I feel more correct saying she than saying Shia. Because when I say Shia, I feel like I'm saying like shea butter or like
Shia.
Feel like I'm closer saying Shia.
Actually, can I correct you on this, please?
Uh-huh.
So it's spelled S-H-I-I-T.
Yes.
Some people put the E, some people don't.
Okay, I think I said Shiite.
Yes, exactly. That's what our conversation was. So you had said Shia, and then he said, no, it's not Shia. You don't include the T. It's Shia.
Yeah, and then I was like, why do we want to do that? And he's like, it's like Western culture, because it's like Mennonite.
Yes.
Like, well,
yes.
It's like you want to put, like, you see that, and you, like, want to put it there or whatever.
Yes.
So when I say, so I just need to, Shia.
Shia. Yes.
Shia.
That's the way we say it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we cleared that up.
Yeah.
So that's cute. So I ran, whatever, we don't need to talk about that because I'm way more interested in you.
Oh, all
right. I am.
However, there is something that you do ask a lot about, and I wish I had more information for you than this, but I do love that you're interested in Pakistani politics, and I don't want this to be a political chat because I don't know a lot.
Well, it's not up to you, Tan.
Because I don't know a lot about
much.
Politics.
You know, if you've learned one thing about me, a lot of our relationship is like when I choose to leave your house, when I choose to invite myself over to your house, when I choose to FaceTime you at the same time every day,
I mean, even though you're at the gym.
I just do what I do, and you do like, what I you get do. So you to get me what I can get when
you can
you're willing to give it to me.
Political as you want. However, I'm not as informed as you are.
You're more informed than I am in lots
and
of
I
ways.
Should be for sure about Pakistani politics. However, one thing I am very proud of about Pakistan is that we were the first Muslim nation to have a woman in power. And that was like in the early 90s.
Whose name was Benazir Bhutto, who we love.
Yes.
How do you say it with your...
Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Of course. So I think another thing that people don't know about you and I is that actually we grew up together in the outskirts of Surrey.
Oh my gosh, if you start to lose your accent during this, stay strong, baby.
Growing up, where we really come from is where we really, really come from is actually where are we literally
Yorkshire.
Where are we from? Yorkshire, of course. But that's actually the name of the county. Yorkshire is the name of the county,
yes,
of course.
Well done. Okay, he did just learn this 2 days ago.
No, ten. You know what?
I just,
if you could just suspend some disbelief for a moment and just be all right with the fact that I grew up with you in Yorkshire.
Yes.
The county that I've always known was a county and I never referred to as a city ever.
Definitely not until 2 days
ago. So tell me about our upbringing together in Yorkshire.
So we had, you'll remember this, of course, we had the most lovely little childhood in Doncaster.
In Doncaster. That's where we come from.
And then we went to Hallcross High School, which is the same one as Louis from One Direction. You remember that, right?
Wow, that our high school has come out with so many superstars.
Superstars.
Myself, yourself, and Louis from One Direction, of course.
Yeah, so many of us, a whole three of us. And it was a really quiet
town. What sports did we play any sports?
We did. Remember we played football for a while, which is what you guys call soccer?
Yes. And you were a forward. Or you were a goalie. I can't remember.
I was a goalie because I was small and I was fast.
Oh my God, Tenny, do you have any stories of an epic save from like an epic game that you once did?
I let everyone pass because I was crap at soccer.
Oh, no.
All I wanted to do was go home and play with my Barbies.
I loved Barbies too, Tanny.
Okay, so did you have something called Cindy's here? Cindy's and Barbies? Do you know what that is?
No,
maybe
I think
Cindy's the English one.
Well, I can't believe that I forgot about Cindy's where we're comfortable for. So tell me about how we play with Cindy's.
So my dad was super competitive with his brother. And his brother had kids who were my age. And one of them was my female cousin. And we were both seven. And for her seventh birthday, she got a Barbie house. And my dad was the eldest in his family, and his brother was the second. And they were so, so competitive that even though it was clearly a product for a girl, back in the day, it was seen as a girl's product. My dad, the next, a couple of months later, it was my birthday. He went and got me a Barbie's house that was twice the size of hers. And instead of just one Barbie, he got me like 10 Barbies. I had a full-on Barbie life going on. He did not at any point think, that's a little bit strange to do this for my son.
Well, he was more like concerned about beating his brother than thinking about like what that meant for like your identity or whatever.
It was so weird. And I remember thinking, he used to say every now and then, like, stop crossing your legs, because he wanted to encourage me to be more masculine. And I'm like, you got me a Barbie house. Who are you to tell me to uncross my legs?
So your dad got you this gorgy Barbie gorgy Barbie house because really he just wanted to beat his little brother's daughter, who I almost just called like a rude name, but then I remember that that's your cousin. Yeah, and so we love her. And we love her.
Yeah, we love her.
I was thinking about like that little like whatever, but this, we love her. She's a cousin. Her. She's heard the competitive parts. I thought that I hated her, but I forgot that she's actually like I grew up with her.
You remember. We were in school together.
Yeah, of course. So how, when did you start to suspect that you were maybe like a little baby gay?
A little off.
No,
my culture calls it off. Like my dad would say you're a little off.
Yeah, but my culture, our culture, our big gay culture calls it on.
Yeah, full. Oh, is that really?
Okay, no, I just made it up.
I love that. Okay.
But we're not going to refer to her. We're starting a thing.
We should say that. Absolutely.
Sorry, when did you know that you were one? When did you know it was one?
Yeah.
When did you know that you were going to meet my gorgeous fat peach of a butt and it was going to be one?
Obsessed.
Yes.
I would, honestly, do you know, people ask that a lot, and I never know how to answer that because I don't remember ever feeling off. Thank you. And I never remember a time when I thought I'm into women. I always felt into boys. Did you ever have that?
Well, no, but I just remember being like in kindergarten and like when other little boys would like chase little girls around. Yeah. I was always like kind of hanging with the girls and chasing boys and wanting to push them down.
Exactly, exactly. So it never was a case of, okay, from this age, I started to feel different. I was never one of those boys who was into girls and then one day it changed. I always
What I'm more asking, I'm not asking if you're into girls. I'm more of asking like, when did you consciously... Yeah, like when did you, like I remember one time, this is intimate, but I was going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was sitting there having...
One or two.
I was sitting there having a thing.
Yes, you were.
And it dawned on me, thanks for clarifying, but it dawned on me that I was like, it literally just like came to me and I was like, I was like...
I like boys.
Because, and it like that, like the ramifications of like what that was going to mean.
Okay, so like that,
that was like, for me, that was like in maybe fifth or sixth grade. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to have to tell people someday. And like, what does this mean for like the ease of my life? Like, that's when I was like, what does this mean, you know, in a larger scale?
Okay, so that, if you're referring to that, then maybe when I was like 13.
And you were 13 in what year?
13 in grade 8.
Grade 8 isn't 2001.
No, that was, I would have been, that was like 1995.
You were not in 8th grade in 1995. You're like 1 year older than me, Tan.
Wait, was I?
In 1999, in 2001, I was in 9th grade. What year were you born? 85?
83. Yeah.
You're 4 years older than me?
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah, right?
Ooh, you're kind of my little daddy.
Yeah, I remember we go to school way earlier than you.
So no, you don't, Tanny. Not in the UK.
Oh, well, you were in the UK, you know. We start kindergarten at 3, and then we're in school at 4.
Tan, that is an absolute bald-faced lie. This is worse than the time when you had the nerve to tell me that Z was pronounced Z in British.
It's true.
I know it is.
You
I'm
should
kidding.
Know.
I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, anyone that's back home, I do want you to comment at some point when you hear this and just let Jonathan know that this is true. We do go to kindergarten.
So what time do you graduate high school?
16. We can either do it 15 or 16.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why we go to college earlier. Yeah.
You go to college earlier?
16, yeah.
Tan.
I know. Again, you're from England. You should know this.
I forgot a lot.
You've forgotten a lot. So I was, God knows how old, I think it was 13, and I was in grade 8, and I remember looking at this boy. Can I say his name or no?
Yeah.
His name was Ricky Agar, and I loved him so much. Okay, so it was the first time. It was in summer, and we were playing basketball outside, and he took his shirt off. And it was the first time I'd really seen a boy with his shirt
like,
off.
You are a sinewy tall glass of water. Gosh.
And now when I think about it, it was a 13-year-old boy, so this is disgusting. But he was so beautiful. Like, his skin was glistening. It was shiny. And I just thought, I want to marry him. And that was the first time I thought, wait, I want to marry a boy. That's bizarre.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't see any other outcome. I didn't think, oh, well, I've got to quash that because I've got to marry a girl at some point. I never, ever thought that. I just thought he will be my husband one day. By hook or by crook, he will be my husband.
Yeah, I like definitely never tried to fight that. Like,
no,
either.
Never.
It was like, I am so digmatized right now.
Yeah. And there are many kids, people who I know who thought, I want to fight it. My husband being one of them, he thought, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to pray for it to go away. And I did to a certain extent. I used to pray that it went away, but I knew it wasn't.
I never really did. I guess I was like a little scared, but I was like, I love that dick. I hope she doesn't take away my love of dick, honey. I hope this goddess doesn't take it away. Why would you bestow me with such a gift just to rip it out of my gorgeous hide?
You're absolutely right. But being as religious as my family was, I was like, oh shit, this spells trouble.
Oh my God, you guys, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be more with gorgeous Tan France and the gorgeous star of Netflix's Queer Eye is the fashion person. He's a groom. He's from the United Kingdom. He's absolutely gorgeous. His body's sickening, face sickening. I'm quad sickening. I'm sick. We'll be right, but in a gorgeous way. We'll be right back with more Getting Curious after this. So, Tan, that really was a gorgeous exploration of something that has no chronological time order. We jumped all over the place, and there really isn't a rhyme or reason.
That's the roundabout right for you.
That's how I work.
Yes,
I like that. So basically, so you kind of never really tried to fight it, and that's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Did you ever think, even for a second, maybe I need to try and find a way when I'm older to maybe make it work with a girl?
No, right? No.
I never did.
I ask the questions around here.
Oh, shit. That's how this works?
Yeah, I ask questions. But I appreciate your asking questions. So for you, you know, you never really fought it. And then when did you ever have to have a conversation with your parents or your family? Or, like, was that, like, a hard for you? I mean, obviously, I'd imagine, like, being a Pakistani descent. And, like, what was that like?
So here's the thing. So although we're Pakistani, we were born and raised in the UK. So we were torn. We had really Western ideals because that's all we knew, really. But we were entrenched in this culture that is a little more archaic.
Because your mom and dad were born in Pakistan, weren't they?
They were. They came over when they were really, really young. Both of them were under 10 years old. So they know the British culture really well. And the funny thing is that we weren't really raised super, super strict Muslim. It was in the periphery. We'd go to mosque and
like every...
every day. Every day. We'd go to mosque every day after school. Yeah, so after school we'd go.
What's like the church for, or what's obviously as a mosque, but like what's Sunday? Like, you know, like Sunday, most like God, you're a Christian.
Friday.
Cute.
I was at Friday.
Of course.
And we call it Jummah. Jummah.
So you go to Jummah?
Yeah. Not anymore. Not their best anymore. But yes, normally most practicing Muslim do. And I did it until recently. So I would, we would go to school and then we'd have half an hour break and then we'd go to mosque every day. And this was from age 4 or 5 to 15. So that was a lot for kids. We weren't really allowed to have a social life outside of that. It wasn't encouraged. But we were raised, other than that, we were raised very, very Westernized. And so I was torn because I knew that I could live this life. I could choose to live the life that I wanted. I could date whoever I wanted, but I had to basically get permission. You often ask who gave permission. I do. In my culture, we do need permission from our families to be able to live the life that we want. Our lives are not our own lives. They are based on the community, our families. It's a lot more community driven than just a singular person. So when I came out to my sister when I was 17. She was the first person I told. She cried and cried and cried as if somebody had passed away, and that's quite common. She had to go through a bereavement process and realize that the life that she had planned for me was never going to come to fruition. But then shortly after that, she got used to it. The only thing was that I wasn't allowed to talk about my new life, and I've got air quotes. She understood, but it was against religion, so don't talk about it.
So it's like, don't bring your boyfriend home.
Never. Don't ever address this life that you're now living. And then I told my
brother. And how old were you then?
16. And then I told my brother about a year or so later, one of my brothers a year or so later, then I told my mom a couple of years later. And it was always the agreement that, yes, okay, we understand that you can't control this. You've always been a little different. We didn't know what it was. Now we understand. However, you can live the life that you want, but never, ever bring it home. Never talk about it.
And that was your mom's response too?
Yes. And so that was the case. So up until literally...
But then what about your dad?
My dad passed away when I was 13. He didn't know. And I spoken to my mom since. I was like, do you think he had an inkling? She was like, no, we didn't know what it was called back in the day. We just knew you were different. We didn't know what that meant.
Was that... you know, like in AJ's episode, not to like, you know, reference our work, but like, was that, did that like strike you deeper, like watching him go through that, or even like Remy losing his dad? But I can't remember.
What I will say is, so their experience was different because they were already close with their fathers. I wasn't very close with my dad. We were really disconnected. He was a lot more cultural. I was a lot more westernized. And so, yeah, we weren't super close. And he died at such a young age where our relationship was kind of tough. So, also, when I came out, I did feel somewhat relieved thinking, I'm so glad I don't have to have this conversation with my dad. If my dad was still around, I definitely wouldn't be living the life that I do now. Or if I were to, it definitely wouldn't be as peaceful as it is now. I probably wouldn't have any contact with my family. I would have had to have, they would have disowned me, I'm almost positive. It makes it easier that I didn't have to come out to my dad. My mom's a lot more easygoing than my dad was. And so I told them that I was gay and I wasn't allowed to talk about it. And I had gotten married in that time. I'd been with my husband for 10 years. And up until literally 3-4 months ago, until December, I never talked about my marriage, my relationship.
What?
Yeah, he was never
mentioned. So you got married to Robin, none of your family knew
yet? They all knew. I told them I was getting married, but they said, okay, that's all we need to hear. They didn't want to know his name.
They didn't come.
They did not come.
So who was at your wedding?
His family and a couple of my closest friends. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And so only when the show was about to come out, I told my family, hey, something's about to come out. And for the first time ever, you're going to see what my life is. And I said that I'm not going to stop doing this. This is the life that I've chosen. And you either accept me for who I am finally, or I can no longer be part of your lives.
So has your like brothers and sisters met Rob at this point?
Still not. I'm not ready for it yet. So since then, they've watched the show. They didn't want to watch the show. Can I go into this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So they didn't want to watch the show because they thought that with it being called Queer Eye, that it was a gay conversion program.
Oh.
So I was trying to go around the country and encourage people to be homosexual, which is
a great idea for a TV show.
It's a great idea.
I think they hit the nose on the head.
Yes, they did. They were very smart about it. But when they finally watched the show, curiosity killed them and they couldn't control it.
Or gave them life. Curiosity gave them life.
Yes, yes, yes. So beforehand, they said they weren't going to watch the show. But then so many of my extended family members had seen it. So they finally watched the show and they said, oh my gosh, it's so much better than we ever expected. You made us so proud. You're just who you are. I think their worry was that I was going to be somebody else in my personal life, that I was going to be, I don't know, super sexualized, super flamboyant. So I think that they were just so concerned that I wasn't going to be who they knew and who they loved. So I think watching the show gave them an opportunity to see me doing what I do, but being exactly the same person they've always known their whole lives. And so our relationship has changed so much the last few months. Now they ask about Rob every time we Skype, and they'd literally never said his name before. For 10 years, they'd never used his name. So now it's a very strange feeling having a conversation with them over Skype, and they actually have seen him on FaceTime, and that's a very strange process.
So, you know, me watching you say that, I get... oh my God, I'm like literally emotional. This never happens to me. I host a show. Today I was getting asked a lot about what it feels like having such an outpouring of support on social media. And I was saying how it's something that like I don't let myself sit in, like I don't let myself sit in that praise and I don't seek it out and I don't like undulate in it too long because I'm very, maybe not very concerned is too strong to put on it, but it's like I don't want the positive affirmations from people to change the way I feel about myself. And I don't know if that's because sitting in that self-love or that self-appreciation feels like, I don't know what makes me feel scared of it or like why sitting in something good feels scary. But watching you sit in something that's like so gorgeous for you feels so good. But like, have you had a chance to like sit in that new reality? And like, how does that make you feel knowing that like, you know, you very gently and patiently like kind of, you know, got these people in your family to come around. And then, you know, more widely, like you are this... You know, I can't think of any other gay Muslim men that are like living this publicly and this out. And what has the response been like that for you? And how, and like, can you feel it? Because I feel like kind of numb.
Yeah.
Almost from it.
Yeah. For me, it's been firstly, having my family understand me and accept me for who I am finally after they've known for 17, 18 years now is a really strange and wonderful feeling for them. For me to actually be able to use my husband's name feels really powerful now. And the messages I get from people all over the world, but in particular the Middle East and Asia, is really nice. I know you said you don't like to sit in that and it can give you an icky feeling. For me, it feels so beautiful to get messages from people saying, I see a version of myself on TV. For the first time ever, I've been able to turn to my family member and say, to say to them, I'm gay, is really powerful. Like, this has never been done before. Like, I've never seen a version of this on TV. And it's so, I used to be so jealous of white people thinking, oh my God, how nice it must feel to be able to use your partner's name, just something as simple as that, to be able to say, this is who my partner is. Even if they haven't met your partner, even if you decide not to keep that partner, just being able to have the freedom for, and it's not all white people, I know it's not, that's an overgeneralization, but I do think it's easier to come out as a white person in many cities in the US. I know not the case in the Midwest or many other places. I don't know. I'm trying to defend my comments, but I do. Maybe that is how I truly feel. I do feel like it's easier to come out as a Caucasian person in America or in the UK. And so sitting there watching as a Middle Eastern, as a Pakistani man, watching that, I was so envious as a kid, thinking I would love to be able to just be honest with my family or my friends. And it's not that easy. And especially if you're a kid in the Middle East, where it's so much harder than even I have it in the UK or in the US. I just know how I would have felt if I could look at the TV and say to my family, watch this show and you might finally understand who I am. That feels really nice, Jonathan. And I know that it's hard for you to receive those positive affirmations. And I totally get why you say that. But for me, it feels so nice.
I love that it feels so nice. And it's not that it makes me feel icky. It makes me, I don't want everyone's like outpouring of love to delude how I see myself.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's how what I meant. Yes, I do.
It feels like, you know, to be so heavily praised when like I am, you know, just like a kid trying to do the best I can with what I know. And, you know, like that's the part. Like, I just don't want to have like an inflated sense of self. That's the part that makes me feel icky, not the praise itself.
Agreed. And yes, and I feel the same way. I don't. But when people, somebody asked me in an interview yesterday, how does it feel to be a role model? I definitely don't feel like a role model. I'm just doing a job and I'm being visible. And that is all I ever want to do. I will never profess to be somebody's role model. I do love the luxury of being in a position where I can be myself, though. That feels really powerful as a Pakistani Muslim.
Yeah. I also think, you know, you don't have to defend your comments. I think it's like people of color and non-POC people like need to feel, you know, safe to express things how they want. And I could very much see how, like, being a person of color living in this world, you would think that it was, like, very much easier for a non-person of color to, like, come out of the closet, especially, you know, in the Western world. Yeah. I don't think that that is – I think that it's, like, a generalization, but I think it's one that's probably true. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there are some, like, little white kids in the middle of Montana, like, in a fucking real fucked up place that are, like – but I think that, you know, on the whole, that is very extremely true. Mm-hmm. But I love that we can have that conversation. I think that's gorgeous.
I've never talked about any of this on any interviews. You know, I usually avoid these conversations, and you're the only one I'm comfortable enough to talk about this with.
Oh, Tan, I really... well, these are touchy things.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, like, since we've met, you know, like, this is a whole new experience. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole new... different world. And, you know, also, for us specifically, I mean, this is like, not like a shitty thing, but we have very much been there for each other in some of like our very much hardest times.
Yes, we have.
I think that's like very special. I thank you for trusting me to, but I didn't even mean to chat about that. We chat about what we chat about.
These are conversations that we have in our regular life too. I mean, we've talked about these things many times. Well, religion and our different upbringings, even though I know we were both raised in Yorkshire, we did have very different experiences.
We have to wrap up in a short amount of time. Favorite British Bake Off contestant?
Oh my gosh. Easy. Nadia.
Of course.
And have you seen, obviously,
of
I know
you've seen.
Of course I have.
It's a Great British Family Baking Show.
No. It's Cooking Showdown or something.
Cooking Showdown or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, we've had this conversation about
You don't
this.
Like a certain person.
I don't dislike her. I just,
You don't think she adds to it? Nadia could do it herself.
I just feel like Nadia could carry that.
Agreed. Zoe Ball, if you ever listen to this, she is a national treasure, as you will remember, because her father, Michael Ball, was also a national treasure.
However, I love them.
Yeah. However, Nadia...
I just love Nadia more.
Nadia absolutely could carry that show.
I just love Nadia more.
I think she's formidable. And the fact that a hijabi Muslim woman won a national TV program in the UK...
And if you guys don't know what hijabi means, that means a woman that wears a gorgeous hijab.
Hijabi, yeah. A hijab is what they wear over
their
hair.
That's like a gorgeous headscarf. Yeah. Yes. And a niqab is when you can only see your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cute.
It's really cute.
Favorite color?
Oh, I know that they
spit
say
it out.
Not a color, but black.
Oh, cute. Love.
Yeah, always.
It's a presence of all colors.
Yeah.
So you love them all.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you feel like you'd like people to know?
Oh my gosh, I wish there was something I wanted everybody to know. Just that I have so much love for you, you'll never understand.
Tanny.
I mean, I tell you that all the time, but I do.
I love you too.
Yeah, you've become one of my best friends in like a year, which is insane. It usually takes me years and years to become friends with this close with people.
It's probably like something like
14 months.
Or no, but I'm thinking days. I'm like,
oh,
it's
God,
like
1400.
Or no, like not 14, like 380 or something.
I can't do fast math. You know me.
386 hours, 600 minutes.
Gorgeous.
How do
gorgeous.
You measure?
That's also something I'm blown away by is your beautiful singing voice.
I don't know how you
don't have a record contract
I know.
Yet.
I'm always like begging Bobby to sing with me more because I know that he's like dying to do a duet
he's
with me. I think it'd be so beautiful.
Yeah, with you. I don't know why nobody ever asked me to sing. My singing voice is gorgeous.
It's like really beautiful.
Almost as good as yours.
So Tan, do you have like a gorgeous website or something you want people to go to, or do you have anything you want to plug? Is there anything gorgeous?
Just, I mean, the only thing is Instagram, because I feel like that's where you get to see mostly the true version of me.
Well, that link will be on this. And Tan, thank you so much for giving me your time and coming to talk to me. I love you so much.
I love you too, baby.
Thank you. You've been listening to Getting Curious with me, Jonathan Van Ness. My guest this week was Tan France. You'll find links to Tan's work and socials in the episode description of the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at JVN. Our theme music is Freak by Quinn. Thanks to her for letting us use it. If you enjoyed our show, then please tell your friends about us. Get them to subscribe, honey, please. Or make them whatever. Or just grab their phone and subscribe for them. And if they download it, that's their business. And also, will you leave us a review on iTunes? You guys have really been doing such a good job of that, but it's music to my ears. My eyes love it. All my senses love your reviews, as long as they're cute. So give it to us, honey. Write a review. We love it.